usage and interest in Solana. And what happened in September of 2021 is there were basically a bunch of folks that were trying to snipe an NFT drop, and they, you know, overwhelmed the chain where they kind of users DDoS the chain, essentially, is what happened. And so, you know, Mainnet and the Solana blockchain is not meant to be a static thing where you just kind of is released once on Mainnet and then that's it, right? Yeah. And so there is a roadmap to improve performance, make it better over time, because that's part of the whole idea of Solana, which is that as hardware improves, then the blockchain is also going to improve in performance.
Welcome to the Encrypted Podcast, your gateway to the future of technology and innovation, right here in the heart of Dubai's dynamic tech universe. I'm your host, Maria Vovchok, and together with Dubai Blockchain Center, we are embarking on a journey that unravels the minds of tech visionaries through the digital frontiers that are shaping our world. Hello and welcome everyone to the Encrypted Podcast. I'm your host, Maria Vovchok, and today we're really happy to have here Lily Liu, co-founder of Anagram, president of Solana Foundation, a contributor to Osmosis Labs, member of Super Team. As an early adopter of BTC back in 2013, Lily Liu has been in crypto industry for a full decade. She has gone from an exchange BTC China to an earliest mining company in the United States, 21 Inc., which later changed its name to Earn.com and was acquired by Coinbase. And then she joined a public blockchain Solana. So many things that you've done, Lily. What else do you believe our audience should know about you that maybe I haven't mentioned yet?
Well, I did live in China for 5 years and I actually learned about Bitcoin crypto when I was in China. So that's always been a big part of my experience with crypto. And that's obviously very relevant today. So,
Can you please tell us, like, you joined Solana Foundation in 2021, and it has been like through ups and downs, like throughout this year's, like first, like amazing rise, then obviously because of a lot of things that happened in 2022, it has its ups and downs. But when were you like at the inception, like in 2021? Like with your role, what goals have you like set up for yourself that you wanted to contribute to the development and growth of Solana ecosystem?
So I got interested in Solana at the beginning of 2021. I just started using it as a user. So every so often I look around in the ecosystem just to check things out, what's new, try using different platforms. And when I started using Solana, it was a really, it was a very simple reason that I kind of fell in love with it. So I clicked a button and everything just happened, right? And I was so used to, you know, because I did get into crypto starting with Bitcoin 10 years ago and then Ethereum after that, I was so accustomed to you know, send a transaction and you wait either an hour or you wait a couple of minutes for the transaction to clear. And that's just not something that your average person is going to deal with, right? And so when I started using Solana, that kind of hooked me initially. And then I got more into the ecosystem, met more folks, got back in touch with Raj and Toli, got along really well. And I think I think there are two things. One is that I think it's the only blockchain right now that has the possibility of being used by regular people, right, who are not sort of blockchain aficionados. I think that's one. So it's usable by consumers. And then the other is that there's this kind of shared vision that we want to make self-custody available to a billion people, usable by a billion people. Make the applications within crypto such that a billion people want to use self-custody, which of course is not easy, right? And so, you know, for myself, having been in crypto for 10 years, and there's been so many twists and turns in the industry, right? Moves at, it feels like several lifetimes already, right? Every cycle is a lifetime. That for me is kind of the common denominator amongst so many of the different communities and, you know, different generations that come into crypto. Are you a believer in self-custody?
Are you asking me?
Well, no, for folks that come into crypto, right?
Because
well,
in my
also
case,
for you.
I came for in crypto because I loved it, like the way how you actually be in control of your own funds and you can send it like in a couple of minutes. That's amazing.
Yeah, 24/7, 365.
And as you said, like it really feels like it's like, I don't know, 1 year in traditional world, it's like you know, as they call it, like it's like dog's life in crypto. Yeah. So it's like literally seven times, like much faster.
At least three times, because typically in the regular world, the workday is what, 8 or 9 hours a day, and in crypto it's 24/7.
24/7.
Literally, it is at least three times as fast. And so, so for me, that's kind of the common denominator between Bitcoin and Ethereum and Solana, and you know, a number of the other different networks out there, and all the whether you're more of a DeFi person, whether you're more into the creator space. The common denominator is self-custody.
So as you said, like one of the major ideas was like to help people like who are not exactly into crypto, but make them like using crypto more like in this case, user-friendly and easier, much easier for them. But for those, for example, who haven't heard about so far about Solana, and I believe for those who actually don't know what is exactly proof of history consensus algorithm, I believe it will be interesting for them to know about this. Can you please tell us?
Yeah, sure. Okay, so with Ethereum, which opened up this entire space, right? So massive credit and thank you to Ethereum ecosystem. It's a sequential transaction processing, right? Whereas the innovation with Solana is to introduce parallel transaction processing. And one of the ways it does it is to have a common clock across all of the different validators.
Yeah.
And so so the clock is really just a hashing algorithm. So SHA-256, which is the same that Bitcoin uses. But that basically means that all of the machines kind of have like a machine clock that allows them to asynchronously synchronize the ordering of transactions. And so that you know, was one of many things that has made Solana able to achieve the performance that it does. But then that essentially opens up the ability to do parallel transaction processing.
So actually, this is a very good thing you mentioned, because on the one hand, it provided Solana with the ability with a high throughput, because like the faster transactions, smaller fees for transactions and etc. But at the same time, obviously, a lot of talks have been about the outages that happened over the last couple of years, like since 2022, 2023. And the thing is, even though the developers after that, they recovered everything like again back on track. But how were you, especially with the events in 2022.
Yes.
How were you dealing with that? Because I also would like to, I really enjoyed like watching this small video about like how one of the Solana members, like from the community members, they created this video as if Solana is like Neo from Matrix. And this is how he's like still standing up. Like everybody's saying that he's dead. But it's waking up and it's going on. So please tell us how was this journey?
Certainly. And so so first of all, credit to Maddie Taylor, who until recently was at the foundation, is now still running our hackathons for creating that video. Because that was, he did a good job on that one. So let's see, in 2020, the first outage was in September of 2021.
Yeah.
And that was right after Solana had this massive rise. NFTs started to go wild on Solana in the summer of 2021. That was, you know, Sol season, Solana summer. And so I think at that point, Solana was a little bit a victim of its own success. The chain had only been on mainnet for about 18 months at that point. And I mean, people just, it just, you know, completely went vertical, right? Usage and interest in Solana. And what happened in September of 2021 is there were basically a bunch of folks that were trying to snipe an NFT drop. And they, you know, overwhelmed the chain where they kind of users DDoS the chain, essentially, is what happened. And so, you know, mainnet and the Solana blockchain is not meant to be a static thing where you just kind of is released once on mainnet and then that's it, right? And so there is a roadmap to improve performance, make it better over time, because that's part of the whole idea of Solana, which is that as hardware improves, then the blockchain is also going to improve in performance and other metrics as well. And so it was Solana basically, you know, its growth exceeded the pace of development on the roadmap because, you know, one is more or less linear and the other one, it was exponential. And so that's what happened in September of 2021. And then so the core development team started to push out a whole bunch of upgrades. And by saying they're upgrades, I think that actually understates what significant changes they really were to the core protocol. And really, there are some pretty really interesting features and like a total overhaul overhaul of certain aspects of the blockchain. And so one of those, for example, that I think makes it much more usable over time is local fee markets. Mm-hmm. And so what we're used to in the Ethereum world, for example, is something really hot is going on, and then everything gets more expensive for everyone, right? And so whether you're trying to do a simple stablecoin transaction or do something more complex, you know, you go from paying $2 to maybe $20. And that's just
sometimes
the way it is.
Sometimes even more.
Sometimes even more, correct. And with Solana, by implementing local fee markets, it's essentially sort of the fees will go up if you're interacting with certain hotspots or contract addresses that are really hot. Mm-hmm. But then if you and I are just trying to send one another, you know, a payment, then we can still enjoy the performance and costs that we would get on, you know, an average day, right? Mm-hmm. So that's one of the fixes that also helped therefore combat some of the potentially sort of speculative activity that was happening around NFTs. And then we also swapped out the transport protocol and introduced stake weighting, right? So those are all really significant changes that took, about a year to fully implement. And since then, I think that we haven't had any outage in close to a year.
Dubai, home for innovations. But talking as well about 2022, mm-hmm. you actually, mm-hmm. everybody remembered that before all of this FTX saga, yes. SBF was endorsing Solana. Do you think that it also everything that happened in 2022 later on, yeah. it kind of affected the like challenges you've been facing at the time?
I think that I remember November of 2022 very clearly, because that was obviously really stressful for everyone in the ecosystem. But the thing is that I think because SBF was such this larger than life character, mm-hmm. and he also, especially in 2021, was a massive supporter of Solana, starting in 2020 and then to 2021, more casual observers thought that, would even go so far as to think that Solana was FTX chain or that Solana was SBF chain even, which is just factually untrue.
Yeah.
But I think maybe people adopted that mental model from what is true for a number of exchanges where they have an exchange and then they'll have a chain that sort of goes along with it, right? Mm-hmm. That's certainly a model that's pretty prevalent in Asia.
But in this case, it could be also like the case with Luna and FTX as well.
Right. And so... So I think that a lot of people just assumed that there was something similar going mm-hmm. on, which was just never true. So when November came around, a number of folks thought that if the relationship is as some chains are to exchanges, then Solana must be dead. But totally untrue, right? Mm-hmm. So it is true that SBF was supportive, especially in the early days, when honestly, I think FTX was also a lot more committed to self-custody in the mm-hmm. earlier days. So they helped build Serum in 2020 into 2021. Mm-hmm. And honestly, that was the first demonstration of central limit order books being totally natively on-chain. And that was really powerful. And then I think there was a divergence probably starting in 2021 when FTX started to prioritize more custodial mm-hmm. solutions, which didn't end very well, right? Once again, going back to self-custody. And I would say that, the sort of larger-than-life marketing aside, that's when we started to really feel like there was, one set of folks prioritizing a custodial route and then the others prioritizing a self-custody route. And that, to me, is the natural divergence because as a company, if you're an exchange, you're a centralized company, right, by definition. And the terminal endpoint of a company is to centralize all resource, human and financial, onto your balance sheet, right? Mm-hmm. To be like the Standard Oil of yeah. modern times. And if you are a public blockchain, then your goal is to own none of the human or financial capital in mm-hmm. your kind of terminal, immortal, nirvana state, right? And so it's inevitable that even though there's early on, ways that exchanges and blockchains can help one another, in the long run, the interests are diametrically opposed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I wanted as well to ask you because right now, what I can see as well, your super team DAO is actually really active in UAE and mm-hmm. in the Middle East. And one of the things, because I'm actually following your community, I see that you're mm-hmm. being really active. So you're kind of like not only survived, but it seems like you actually gained a lot of positive momentum like over yeah. like the end of 2023, and you're actually right now, we're right now in 2024. Can you please tell us what is happening right now in UAE with Super Team DAO, with DeFi projects built on top of Solana? You have a lot of Hacker's House, by the way, very famous Solana's hackathons. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So when everything happened in the end of 2022, you know, obviously there's a lot of FUD in the ecosystem, but really, I never had a doubt that Solana was going to do great still long term, right? Because all the steps since, all the developers, no one left.
Yeah.
There might have been a couple of headlines that people searched really hard for to write, because you know some journalists are sensationalists from time to time, and but really everyone stayed and everyone's just had faith in the community, in the technology, and actually you know, became even more loyal to Solana during that moment, right? And I think that that really is like that sense of community, that sense of loyalty, and that commitment to building cool things with this technology, that is the crown jewel of any blockchain, right? When the technology is open source, right? What is like what is the true network effect? It's the technology and it's really the developers. So that's something that I think was always true, and it took a while. It took about a year for people to. More external observers to really understand that and see the core was only strengthened during that time.
Oh, by the way, but coming back to that headlines, how did you feel about like when some even like developers were saying, oh, Solana will be dead in 5 years? Like, how would you address them, or you would not care and move on?
Look, it's crypto. People all people say all sorts of things, and they say all of those things publicly, right? And so you know, how many times have people predicted the death of Bitcoin? How's that going?
Oh, yes. We even counted like a couple of years ago. I was even counting like
how
many. Like,
right?
And then the news media was like, oh, this is how many times Bitcoin was supposed to be dead already.
Yes. Yeah. Dead, rat poison, you name it, right? How many times have people named Ethereum dead?
Yeah.
So many times. And you could go down the list, right? And the actual fact of the matter is that things in blockchain, even if they don't succeed, right, things never die. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's just a factual sort of baseline, right? And then I think to your question about Super Team. So we, so Super Team started in 2021. Some community members started Super Team, and it's essentially a DAO that is committed to developing, you know, the community within Solana. And so Super Team has been around for about 2.5 years now, and originally started in India. And for the first year or so, it was really focused on the developer community within India. And then in the end of 2022, then we started to roll Super Team out into many different geographies, right? And so UAE, I think, has been really interested in attracting blockchain to the UAE. And so so Super Team thought that that would be a good place to start getting active. And so I think the Super Team folks started working on UAE about 6 months ago. And I think they've been doing a great job.
And by the way, you as a president of Solana Foundation, what strategies do you use and do you have, like, for example, to attract more developers to build DeFi projects on top of Solana blockchain?
Yeah, so for us, so first of all, the foundation is just one entity of many within the ecosystem. And one of our goals actually is for the ecosystem to grow at a far faster pace than the foundation ever could, right? And so for us to, you know, gradually recede it relative to the ecosystem. And so so therefore, our priority is always on the community, developing the community, helping facilitate growth of the community, and ultimately for the community to take over, you know, all, you know, whatever and all the things that it can, right? And so so with the developer community, so first of all, the developer community is the crown jewel of any blockchain, right? The most so the most important thing is always the network, because if there's no network, there's no blockchain, there's literally, you know, no blockchain. And then next to that, it's in having an independent developer community, right? Because if there's no developers, then no one's building applications and there's nothing for users to do, right? And so once the blockchain is live, that, you know, there's all of the various things to improve the quality of the network, continuous improvement on the software, so on and so forth. But then the developer community is something that we've really invested a lot in. And I would say, you know, from the 2017-2018 era, I think Solana is really certainly the most successful developer community outside of EVM, right? Everyone else that proposed new scaling solutions pretty much went the EVM route, right? To kind of draft off the existing developer community there and the network effects that gives you. Whereas with Solana, we kind of had to build everything from scratch. So we've invested a ton in developer education. That's one of the most important things that we do. Because you know it's not just Rust, right? But it's building blockchain applications with Rust. It's a little bit harder to learn, more of an activation energy. So we invest a ton in that. We invest a lot in community development, and so Superteam is one of the things that we do around that. But that's a huge priority for us, right? And to me, that's one of the most important things because, again, as the foundation, we're not here to be here forever, right? We're here to, you know, help maybe kickstart a couple of things, and then for the community to really, in the ecosystem, to be, really be the ones that drive things forward long term. That's the original ethos of blockchain, and that's the purpose, right?
By the way, when I actually mentioned about Solana Hackers House, you have them very often. Right now you have them as well in the UAE. And I was really curious about when you said about jewels among developers, have you found some, let's say, some specific brilliant projects that you can find, and jewels as in terms as individuals, in terms of developers as well?
Certainly in Solana, we have some really very talented developers in Solana. And what we've been doing since we got started in the UAE about 6 months ago, what we've been doing is introducing those founders into the UAE. And so we did a founders track back in October where we invited 20 founders from around the world, brought them to the UAE, and had them meet with folks here to understand potentially how to incorporate, how to set up a business, and how to operate out of the UAE. And what we're starting next week is a founder's villa, where it's a sort of the 1 month long version of the founder's trek. So we're renting three villas here and stocking the refrigerators with Red Bull and inviting people to come and live here for up to a month and build out of the UAE. And so those are some of the things that we've been doing. So we, you know, yes, we do the hacker houses, there's usually a couple of days, but then there's these additional ways that we really try to support folks in a community.
Encrypted is your exclusive ticket to the epicenter of technological innovations in the MENA region. But also you right now came to Dubai for a Satoshi Roundtable. So can you please share with us what kind of discussions are you, in this case, like you're like looking for, looking forward to the most? Because there are plenty of like the ones that are proposed, the ones that are discussed. For you as a president of Solana Foundation, which one like are the most interesting, or the ones that you're heading, the ones that are you leading or moderating?
So this is not my first Satoshi Roundtable. I went.
By the way, when was your first Satoshi Roundtable?
I went in Mexico in 2020, right before the pandemic.
Yeah, amazing.
But this is certainly my first one here in Dubai. And here at Satoshi Roundtable, what I think is perhaps an opportunity for Dubai in or the UAE more broadly in the blockchain industry is to actually kind of be a meeting point between Eastern and Western crypto. And so I think that I see that kind of mix happening here at Satoshi Roundtable. And I think that's something that I'm keen to kind of observe this weekend, but then also more broadly is something that I think is going to be pretty unique about the UAE community, right? Because it's geographically in between. And one of my observations I feel like I've had from the beginning, you know, 10 years ago when I got into crypto is that there's very deep, very strong communities around the Western world, which is typically more oriented on sort of infrastructure, you know, deep tech level innovation. And then there's kind of, you know, the GMT plus eight take on blockchain, which is has amazing developers, but then is really strong in terms of liquidity and markets, right? And so the kind of the two parts of crypto, if you will, they certainly need one another, right? Mm-hmm. But the cultures are totally different. The people are totally different. And it's kind of this weird thing where like there's these two, well, probably more than that, like major nodes, and they're kind of aware of one another, uh-huh. right? But then they kind of have like this weird almost, it's almost a reflection of crypto where you mm-hmm. have like these independent nodes and then they sort of reach consensus somehow, right? Mm-hmm. And so I feel like that's like this parallel kind of operating worlds. And that Venn diagram between them is not huge. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's something that the UAE could potentially help bridge, right? Because mm-hmm. it's kind of 6 hours in either direction to Europe or to Asia from mm-hmm. here. So that's one thing that that's one thing I've kind of been looking for in the audience here.
You know what? I was really also kind of surprised when the topic of longevity was suggested here.
Yes.
And one more thing, if you think about the crypto and longevity, I saw it's like one of the projects that Super yes. Team DAO is working mm-hmm. on. So I'm really yep. curious about that. And are they going to discuss it here? Are you discussing it here as well mm-hmm. at Satoshi Roundtable, or how is it going?
Yeah, so we're really excited about that. Brian Johnson mm-hmm. Is launching Blueprint, and as part of his mm-hmm. launch, he basically did a mint mm-hmm. in collaboration with an artist on Solana and also distributed that through a platform called Drip House, mm-hmm. Which is a pretty amazing founder and great project on Solana. And so Brian is pioneering in many ways, mm-hmm. Including his openness to using entirely new platforms mm-hmm. to, you know, really to find and motivate community, right? And I think he put it really well in his blog post, mm-hmm. Where he said, you know, what the crypto and the longevity communities have in common is an emphasis placed on truth and mm-hmm. on individual sovereignty.
Yeah,
right. I think that was really well put of him. And I think that's also why you'll see quite a number of people between crypto and longevity. There's a big overlap there. Mm-hmm. There's also a big overlap between crypto people and carnivore eating as well.
Interesting.
As we talk about like different kind of mm-hmm. Community trait overlaps. And so I think that we're probably going to see more of that, mm-hmm. right? And I think that that starts to open up what we've talked about and written about in crypto for a while, which is that crypto is a way of using incentives mm-hmm. To compel a community towards action, right? Mm-hmm. And what is that action? I think that action can be applied towards the longevity sphere. Mm-hmm. And so some of the things that I think Blueprint is interested in doing is using this community to, for example, run sort of clinical trials, right? Mm-hmm. Decentralized clinical trials. Mm-hmm. And the ability to potentially put those attestations on a blockchain, basically be able to verify what people did and when, and then what their outcomes were, right? Mm-hmm. To bootstrap an independent blood testing network, right?
Yeah.
So all these types of things that at least, you know, I don't think you can really do in a different way, right? Mm-hmm. So we're pretty excited about that, and going to see what's coming of that.
Yeah. One of the important things, if we're talking about any blockchain as well, any company, is also collaboration mm-hmm. and successful partnerships. What I was really also nicely surprised, I wouldn't say surprised, but the good news came recently about Visa announcing mm-hmm. expanding its stablecoin settlements using the Solana blockchain, which I believe it's like a huge partnership for Solana.
Yes.
Among others, can you please name the ones that you believe or you're expecting or they're happening already or they haven't been announced that you can announce already? The ones that probably maybe something very exclusive for Encrypted Podcast.
Well, if they're not announced yet, then they will be announced soon.
Okay. Approximately like the dates.
I would say I think on the payment side, I think mm-hmm. there'll be another exciting announcement in a couple of months.
Interesting.
Yes.
Okay.
But then speaking of payments and settlement, right, that's a big use case for yeah. Solana. It's something we focused on for a number of years now, right? Mm-hmm. About 18 months ago, we really wanted to focus on stablecoin issuance and not mm-hmm. just, you know, the USDC and the USDT of the world, yeah. Which are already natively issued on Solana, but then really work on stablecoin issuance for non-US stablecoins, right? Yeah. So there's Euro, AUD, GBP coming, CHF, mm-hmm. JPY, mm-hmm. right, amongst others. and hopefully AED as well.
Interesting. Yeah. I think it's especially really interesting, especially for everyone who is here in the UAE.
Yes, yes, definitely. And I think that's also strategic to mm-hmm. the economy here, right? Because the AED, if you make the currency more broadly available, then you can potentially reach more global markets. Mm-hmm. So stablecoins, payments have been really important to Solana because mm-hmm. Solana as a performant chain, I actually think is really the number one place that payments can actually function within mm-hmm. blockchain. Because really, that was part of the original vision around some of the inspiration for Bitcoin, right? Mm-hmm. Global payment network. Mm-hmm. But the truth is, over the last 15 years, it's not been possible to actually do, mm-hmm. right? For, I think, because you need three things to really come together in order to actually have a blockchain-based payment layer and also a composable payment layer that then you can sort of start to build these more settlement-based use cases on. Mm-hmm. So there's three things I think you need is you need to perform a blockchain mm-hmm. that gives a consumer an experience similar to Venmo, meaning mm-hmm. you click a button, your money's there, right? Mm-hmm. In fact, it's even better than something like a Venmo because you click your money, it's there. And it's like, it really is there. It's not a reflection of what's in a database somewhere, right? Yeah. So that's number one. Number two is you need to have enough liquidity in stable coins or assets that people actually use as a medium of exchange. Mm-hmm. And as much as we love the assets that we have in crypto, most people just don't denominate their lives in those assets today. Mm-hmm. So what people do denominate their lives in is fiat currencies because mm-hmm. that's, you know, the dominant medium of exchange. Okay, so that's number two. And then number three is you have to have an independent developer community so that, you know, you can think of the interesting use cases to be built on top of payments and settlements. Yeah. So I think that those three things really only come together in Solana. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that there's really an alternative to that right now, right? Mm-hmm. So that's been a big deal for us for a number of years now. We built Solana Pay as a payment protocol, mm-hmm. Also starting about 2 years ago. And now these things are coming together.
That sounds really exciting. Lily, we are definitely expecting for mm-hmm. new announcements from Solana.
Yes.
Thank you so much. Today we had Lily Liu, president of Solana Foundation. And right now we are moving to our rapid fire questions. Rapid fire questions. So Lily, right now we are going to have rapid fire questions.
Okay.
You can answer like in one quick sentence. I'm asking you a question. You can answer like quickly. So are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. If you had to explain Solana to a child, how would you do this in one sentence?
It's a network of lots of computers that make sure your money gets to where it needs to be, mm-hmm. and it does it really fast.
The biggest misconception about Solana?
That it's centralized.
Okay. Name five qualities that you believe a real entrepreneur should have.
I think relentless. Mm-hmm. Works like a beast.
Okay.
Kind. Mm-hmm. Patient. Mm-hmm. And resilient.
Amazing. Bitcoin or Ethereum?
Solana.
Okay. If Solana were a person, how would you describe its personality in one word?
Fun.
What's your favorite programming language?
Well, I'm not an engineer. Whatever the engineers choose.
The moment that you're the most proud of in your blockchain career?
I think Solana actually after the FTX fiasco. Mm-hmm.
The moment you would like to forget?
Also that one.
before everything happened?
Yeah, before that, the moment that it happened and then after it happened, proud, yeah.
Describe a perfect day for you.
A perfect day, I get to, actually, I feel like I have so many perfect days in crypto because I get to work on things that I really love. I work with people that I really consider friends, and then I get to hang out with my kids.
Amazing. How often do you practice your keynote speech before going on a stage?
Oof. I was a big procrastinator in college. It hasn't gotten better.
So in this case, you're improvising.
I practice a little bit, but
you're doing an amazing job if you're improvising.
I've always been a procrastinator, yes.
Finish the sentence, my business philosophy is?
Find positive sum game opportunities.
Amazing. If there were a movie about your personal and business life, I mean, more like an entrepreneur, how would you call it?
About my professional life?
Yes.
About
yes.
my professional life?
Lily's life in general.
Lily's life? Honestly, I have a pretty boring life outside of crypto. No one wants to watch that movie.
But there are so many things you're working on. I believe like, no, that's not true 100%. Like, especially taking into account so many projects you're involved with. Like, please tell us, just a few. I just named them a few today. Anagram, Solana, Osmos Labs, yes. Super Team in general. So like,
yes. Actually, the reason why we name Anagram is because we believe that blockchain is reordering the world.
Amazing.
Not that Anagram is doing it, because that's too sort of self-congratulatory, that, mm-hmm. like, that's not cool. But blockchain is reordering the world.
The most overrated blockchain project, in your opinion?
Oh, gosh. I don't know, like your 10th dog coin, right?
Okay.
The first ones are good. The 10th ones, yeah.
The most underrated?
Most underrated, I think, I actually really like our friends at Near.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. What do you enjoy the most about working with the Solana community?
I think people are good at what they do and people are kind.
Amazing.
Yes.
The next big trend to follow?
Everyone's into modularity right now. Yeah. And then ZK rollups, people are super into that as well. That's going to be... The application-specific infrastructure.
Amazing. Yeah. What's your personal formula for success?
Similar to the five attributes you asked about earlier. Uh-huh. I think you've got to be tenacious. Mm-hmm. You got to look for positive-sum games. Mm-hmm. And always be very choosy over the people that you work with, right? Mm-hmm. Pick very very carefully who's kind of in your first concentric circle.
Understood. And Dubai for you is associated with?
When I first came here, I was like, this is Singapore meets Las Vegas.
Amazing.
And I love both. So
really nice.
Here we are.
Thank you so much. Today we had Lily Liu, co-founder of Anagram, president of Solana Foundation and contributor to Osmosis Labs, member of Super Team. So excited to have you. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Thank you for watching and see you next time.
Thank you.
From the gleaming skyscrapers of Dubai to the innovation hubs of the Middle East and beyond, Encrypted brings you thought-provoking discussions, exclusive insights, and stories of innovation that will leave you inspired.